Welcome to the National Association of Realtors Commercial Connections Podcast. This is the forum that features interviews with top commercial experts from across the country, sharing their best practices to help you improve your business.
Welcome to Commercial Connections Podcast. I'm Alex Ruggieri. I have with me William E. Stoniker. Bill Stoniker is a CCIM and an SEC. He's president of Wilson and Stoniker, which is a brokerage firm licensed in the state of Texas. They engage in the purchase, sale, and exchange of real estate, mainly in Dallas and Fort Worth Metroplex area. But long history in Texas. They've completed transactions in Texas, Oklahoma, Colorado. Bill has received awards, including the Jennings Lone Star Award by the State of Texas Association of Realtors for outstanding commercial transactions in the year 1999. And in November of 2012, Bill was awarded the Cliff Weaver Award by the Society of Exchange Counselors. It's one of the most creative transactions of the year for that national organization. Interesting thing about that transaction was the original equity for the project was a little south of $700,000, but total cash distributions were well north of $4 million over a 12-year period. Bill has served as the president of the Society of Exchange Counselors, which is a 50-year-old commercial brokerage and development group. And the Society awarded him Counselor of the Year in 2008, so we have lots of awards. And I don't mean to embarrass you, but I do want to mention that Bill also served our country in Vietnam in the Infantry Division and was awarded the Bronze Star. So welcome to the Commercial Connections Podcast today. It's an honor for me to have you with us.
Thank you, Alex.
Well, one of the things that we wanted to talk about today, our commercial practitioners work with developers all the time. And some of them, get it right, and some of them don't get it right. What are some of the issues as a major developer in Texas, and also a CCIM and some connection with the brokerage community, what are some of the issues that we need to be thinking about as commercial practitioners when we work with developers?
Well, the first thing, Alex, that I think you have to do is define what a developer is. And to do that, you not only define what a developer is, but what a developer is not. A developer is basically a manager of tasks and money plus ideas. You have to have financial capabilities. We use investor money. We use our banking contacts for our interim or construction loans, and then as a merchant developer, that would be the end of their financing. They would sell the project. We are investor developers, and so we also have to have permanent financing. So what a developer really is, as I said, a manager more than anything else. When I'm at a cocktail party or something and someone says, you know, what do you do? And I say, oh, we're developers, generally speaking. We spend a lot of time in retail and industrial real estate. Oh, you're a builder. No, we're not a builder. Mm-hmm. We're not a general contractor. Mm-hmm. We employ general contractors. We employ a lot of people, and that makes a lot of difference to us and who we hire as our generals, because if I have to go handle each one of those minute tasks, i.e. be there for the pour. We had two pours this morning on two different projects, concrete pours. There's no way I could have done that. So I've got good generals on both of them who have good superintendents who are out there doing that. I'm managing the taskmaster himself, i.e. my general contractor, but he is the one that does the minute work. So the first thing we've got to understand is what is a developer, and basically we are the guy that we stick our neck on the line with the lenders, i.e. particularly the banks, where we'll have 100% personal liability usually for the project. we'll have our necks on the line with our investors, and then we're the ones that get blamed if something doesn't go right. And that's okay.
That's right.
Because we do get paid to do that. I'm not going to say you get rich being a developer, but if you handle your work correctly, you can be rewarded very well.
I really appreciate you defining that, because it's interesting. It's like they taught us in our 101 class about appraisals. You know, you can appraise, you know, people, everybody thinks when they say we get an appraisal, they know what it means. Well, you know, you may have an appraisal that is for replacement value. You may have an appraisal for estate purposes, or you may have an appraisal for sale. Market value, and each of those is going to be slightly different. And I think people walk around with a slightly different definition in their mind about what a developer is, so it's important to crystallize that. Well, how can we, how can our practitioners increase their ability to work effectively with developers? First of all, they have to know, define what they are and know what they are, but where do they go from there?
Well, we need expertise in leasing, in sales, in finding land. One of the reasons that developers do what they do, when you really think about it, is, and it depends upon how deep you go down into the basic part, we're land developers. We love land. Mm-hmm. Every time I touch a piece of land, I should be able to add an increment of value to that land. We mm-hmm. love buying land that is still in ag, and being able to go in and come up with an idea, take that idea, put it on paper. Once you put it on paper, you probably have created an increment of value. Then you mm-hmm. go to the city and you get them to sign off on it. And once they have agreed that, yeah, maybe we'll let you come into town with this idea, then you've created an increment of value. Once you get your zoning done, you created another layer. Another layer comes when you get your infrastructure in, your roads, your utilities, and things of that nature. When you sign a lease with a grocer, let's say, like we did down in Mansfield with Tom Thumb, which is a Safeway corporation, we created an increment of value because we had already done all the things that I just said, and once we signed that lease, we could have sold that project right then. You have a buy-sell decision every time you create that increment of value.
When you're a developer, how do you make a decision of which commercial practitioners you work with? What are some things they do right? What are some things they do wrong?
They have got to be wired in. Let's take the retail guys. They've got to be wired in with ICSC and be going to that. They've got to have a good network of tenants that they do business with, not only from that they may be the exclusive representing a, for instance, a Tom Thumb, or that they are very, very well wired in with the brokerage community and know that you go over to ABC Realty if you want this, or XYZ if you want a different tenant.
So what are some common mistakes that you've seen brokers make when they're trying to work with you as a developer?
Hiding the reality of what it is they're talking about is the worst mistake. In other words, oh, I can't tell you who this is because I might not get my commission. Putting their commission before the deal is a terrible mistake. You know, Alex, in the SEC, and you being an SEC, you know this yourself, one of the things that we see in the SEC is, hey, Alex, we've got these guys over here that may look at your 12 acres there in Champlain. Look, if you make that deal, you owe me a dinner. And we're not going to McDonald's, by the way. You owe me a really nice dinner. And you know what? You will usually turn back around and pay that person a nice referral fee, but not be so secretive that you can't get the deal done. That is
sure.
One of the biggest things that we see with a lot of the brokers, that they're hiding everything inside their shirt lapel. Let's get the deal done and make certain. And you know what? If you get messed around on a deal, hey, first time, shame on you. Second time, I won't be bringing the deal to you.
Yep. Well, and putting the customer first is something that we need to do always, always. And as an industry, we want people to know that we are putting our customers' interests first and not get behind, some kind of a situation where we're putting that fee in front of. I mean, people read through that so quickly, and I think as an organization, we stand for more than that. We do at NAR. I know you're an NAR member, and CCIM, we stand for more than that. Let's be sure people know that.
So that's correct, Alex. And what you really just said was one of the tenets of CCIM and SEC is that we are not in a real estate business. We're in a people business. You know, it gets back to the old axiom of, this is a bad property over there because it glows in the dark. It's got an environmental issue. It's only a bad property if you have bad ownership. There are people who want that property that glow in the dark. And that all has to do with counseling. And it's the same thing with development. You've got to counsel with your developer. You've got to have an open dialogue all of the time. You've got to be true to that developer, and you have to be able to stay in there. Now, we happen to have a couple of different areas that we work in. We're basically investor developers as opposed to a merchant developer. The merchant developer will usually build the product, and the minute that it gets to a point that he can sell it, he sells it, immediately puts it on the market. And that's good for the brokerage community, too. But a lot of times the brokers don't get to do the sale, but, you know, sometimes they do. But the investor developer is wanting to hold it long term, so you can get more value as a really good real estate practitioner by helping them find the land, helping them find the tenants, helping them find all those smaller tenants, helping them on the renewals, and you just move on from there. And then you've got a lot better chance with that investor developer if you bring them a deal of them getting you a full commission on it. And that's really, you bring value to the deal. I love paying commission.
Yeah. When you bring value to the deal, there's never any question. Well, believe it or not, we're about out of time. If we had nothing else to take away from this conversation today, what would be the top three things you'd want someone to remember from our podcast today in working with developers?
Developers need brokers. We need experienced brokers who will stay in within their expertise, i.e. the retail guys stay in retail, the industrial guys stay in industrial.
Mm-hmm.
Know your area of expertise and know it well. Convince me you are the best, and I'll use you. And I think the other thing is be a counselor. Don't just be a broker. Know that there's a wide, wide world out there that we have to look at, and be a counselor in the transaction. Bring value to the transaction, not just worry about the commissions.
Fantastic. That is sage advice coming from somebody in the know, active in the development community, and just rang true all the way through. Bill, I cannot thank you enough for sharing with our listeners today some of your experience and how we can all more effectively, more profitably work as commercial practitioners in the development community and better serve our developers and our customers and our clients.
Thank you.
All right.
See you.
Bye now. And thank you for joining us on Commercial Connections Podcast.
Thanks for being with us on the Commercial Connections Podcast, the place for you to learn the best practices from the best commercial experts in the country.